It's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I don't know what the heck's going on. Second day in a row, we had a little bit of trouble getting online. I thank God for a good old webmaster like Jared, allthetech.com, I think I said .net, allthetech, whatever. If you're trying to, if you need some computer assist, you know, it's amazing. Jared's in North Carolina, and I'm here in Nephilim Central, here in Central Ohio, and he can come on my computer, and he can do everything on my computer. So I logged in this morning like I always do. That's a little bit, maybe a little bit late, not too late, but nothing was happening. I couldn't get it going. And next thing I know, Jared's on, calls me, and he's on my computer, and we're getting set up and we're running. So sorry that we're a little bit late here today. That tells me if Jared can get in here, who else is getting in here and peeking at my stuff? I wonder. Memorial Day behind us, another day of reality. Yeah. Just let me do a little bit of string of consciousness here a second as we move in here to the 26th day of May, 2020. That alone staggers me, 2020. I don't know what keeps you guys coming back. Those of you who are watching, I'm glad you come back. I don't know what keeps you coming back, because I was walking down the steps down here into my multi-million-dollar studio, and I said to myself, golly, I don't want to go talk about negative stuff again today. I don't want to do that. I want to be like Joel Osteen. I want to go talk about happy stuff and encourage people. And yeah, you know, that's what I'd really like to be able to do. But gee, how do you turn on your computer, get up in the morning, begin? I didn't even get to Facebook today. Begin to do some research of things that are going on, and say, how do you mean Mr. Happy Feet when you see that kind of stuff that's going on? And, you know, the Bible's not doom and gloom. Christianity is not doom and gloom. Christianity is overcoming. Jesus said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. We should be celebrating. But, you know, you look out on the horizon, there's a lot to celebrate. And then the crazy thing is, so many people still have no idea, no clue to what's going on. I got some staggering things on the economy to share with you today. Who cares? Say, who cares about money, Coach? Who cares about? I don't really care about money, other than it's going to impact all of us beyond what we can even imagine, man. It's going to hit us in so many ways if we ever do get ourselves back to work. And see, there you go, Coach, being doom and gloom. I am not doom and gloom. I'm just a weather forecast guy. If I come on and say it's going to be 2 inches of rain today, that's not doom and gloom. It's the reality. Look at this. I forgot to show you all this. My Hillary Clinton toilet paper. I think it was Joe Allen, I think, gave me this weekend. Last weekend, we were up at Sky High. I didn't get a chance to unroll this and get it down there. That woman ought to be in jail. There will be no justice in America. As long as this woman is walking the streets. Yesterday was the Memorial Day parade. A year ago, we were there, Randy. As long as that woman's walking the streets, there's no justice. No justice. It's going to lead to rebellion. Say, what are you saying? Well, I said, because the scripture tells us that because lawlessness will abound, the love of many is going to wax cold. Things are going to get kind of ugly. Just not doom and gloom. You just telling you the truth. Get in there. Prepare your heart. Speaking of prepare your heart, Sarah Brady tomorrow. Jared, is it you this morning or is it Sheldon? I didn't even check. Jared, go up and bring up Sarah Brady. She's going to join us tomorrow. In fact, Jared, you and I got to connect with her later on, make sure she knows how to make everything work here. Sarah Brady is the brave young woman. Why is it always women? It's a brave lady in Boise, Idaho, who got arrested in the city park. Play this 2-minute clip. She's going to join us live tomorrow. Get that in there, Jim.
Moved, and they repeatedly informed everyone it was time
to clear out. Freeze that. Can you take that back just 10 seconds? Are you missing this or is it just me? This sweetie's got a mask hanging around her face. You see, it's got a mask hanging around her ear. She's doing taking that thing off. Go ahead, Sheldon. Let it roll.
Everyone, it was time to clear out.
I just told you. We can close it anytime.
I'm sorry, Dinger. You don't need to talk to me, Rude. I'm just a mom of kids.
Then things come to a head.
You have 5 seconds. Three.
Arrest me for being a cult.
Do it. Report it.
Okay, this is not... What is he? Officer, you don't want to do that.
As the mom is led away, others protest.
He is arresting her for being on a public playground.
In a statement, cops say mom of two, Sarah Brady, was charged with trespassing after failing to adhere to the rules in these very trying times.
She was asked to disperse the area and failed to do so on numerous occasions.
Her arrest triggered protests outside City Hall.
Let our children play!
Okay, you can cut that, Sheldon. See, here's what irritates me.
You shouldn't call that little girl sweetie. That's politically incorrect.
Yeah, I knew that, Roger, as soon as I said that. I knew that. I'm an old dinosaur here, right? It goes back to what I wrote about a couple weeks ago. Where are redress of grievances? Really, all we can do is just go stand out and hold signs and chant. That's really where we are in America. Really? What has happened? I got to show you another video real quick because it's painting the sidewalk. Yesterday we talked about stupid, right? Sheldon, play that third one down there. It says painting the sidewalk. We've lost our stinking minds here, folks. We have lost our stinking minds against that. Yeah, this is just as amazing. This is just as amazing. And so I get frustrated, as you guys get frustrated, at the stupidity. Stupidity. Look at this. Go ahead, play this.
Believe this. You are not going to believe what's going on. This is tyranny. What are you guys doing? For people to walk in one direction?
Correct.
Okay, this is insanity. You know this.
Oh, yeah. You're well aware of it.
What the? God, this is crazy.
Well, you know what happens when you blow people authority, like selectmen and stuff?
Who's the town manager for Swampscott?
John Fitzgerald.
And I bet he supports Charlie Baker.
Oh
my God. So people, now what happens if I don't walk and what if I do this? And I will, because this is what I'm going to do. What happens if I do this? What do they do to me?
I have no idea. It's a suggestion. I don't know.
I know you guys are doing your job, but this is insanity. This is tyranny. That's what this is. This is communism. Come on. This is
okay,
communism.
Sheldon, you can cut that. That's the hey Sheldon, pull up Psalm 1. Psalm number 1. I didn't give that to you. Attaboy. Pull that thing up there.
That's a free trial, you know, like you get on TV where you say, hey, these are free trials. This is a free trial of communism for America. It's not, you know, it's eventually going to cost us.
The average person doesn't get it. See, folks, this is where we are in the good old US of A. Because I hear people say to me, well, Coach, don't just preach the gospel. Don't worry about politics. You can't do anything about politics. And I said, well, here's the problem. And what are we going to do? What we Christians, folks, the Christians are heading towards bondage. There's no other way to cut it. This is where we're heading. You say, well, how can that possibly happen? What's right in Psalm 1? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Hey, Sheldon, go real quickly to Webster. See if you can pull that up real quickly for me. Folks, we got to, words have meaning. Words have meaning. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Type in counsel, C-O-U-N-S-E-L, counsel. No, S-E-L, I'm sorry. Not correcting you there. C-O-U-N-S-E-L, that one, that baby. Advice, opinion, or instruction given upon request or otherwise. You don't even have to ask for directing the judgment or conduct of another. Opinion given upon deliberation or consultation. Interchange of opinions, deliberation. Blessed is the man who walketh not in the advice or the opinion or the instructions of the ungodly. Does anybody read that any differently than me? Blessed is the man who doesn't take advice, nor follow the opinion, nor follow the instruction of the ungodly.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I take it slightly different than the way you read it. I read it, blessed is the man. Because, blessed is one of those programmed, learned words that we learned as kids in Sunday school, and it really has no meaning in our English language today.
Great point.
Blessed makes a difference.
That's a great point. Blessed is the man. Are we blessed in this nation, folks? Well, is it because we're walking in the counsel of the ungodly? Could that be? Nor stands in the wet path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's where our delight is. That's how we get blessed. And in his law, he meditates day and night, night and day. He shall be like a tree planted by living water. And we're going to give forth our fruit in a season. Folks, are we able to give forth our fruit now in the United States of America? Are Christians permitted to give forth their fruit in our due season, in its season? See, you don't want to have melons in January. You would like to, but that's not the melon season, right? So here we are in this time and this place in America, 2020, May 26, 2020, is this our due season? Well, the reason we're being handicapped and the reason we're being chained is because we have been walking in the counsel, the advice, the opinion, the direction of the ungodly. Now, what do we do about it? Is this like a rerun from yesterday? Is it the same theme over and over and over on this show? It is in a lot of ways. It is. Let me open it up. Somebody jump in.
Coach, it's Glenn.
Hey, Glenn.
I was reading, I read through Joshua, and then I started reading into Numbers, and Judges, and it was interesting. So most of Joshua's life, all he did was war against the enemies and drive out the enemies of Israel, as Moses had told him, as God had told Moses, and Moses told Joshua. But here's the thing. When Joshua died, okay, so what happened was the nation of Israel, they didn't war against the enemy anymore, okay? And so what happened is they started serving other gods, and then the enemy pushed them back and were thorns in their side. We have the same thing going on today. The Christians aren't pushing back. And so we have the other team pushing back.
So Glenn, great point, by the way, Glenn. Yesterday, Michelle and I loaded up two of our grandchildren. I wanted to take them all, but we took two of our grandchildren. And on Memorial Day, I took them down to the cemetery where my mom and dad is buried. Into the cemetery where Michelle's mom and dad were buried. And we took pictures. No, you don't understand. We took pictures of my mom and dad and explained to our two grandchildren, these two people here are laying here. And I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Omi and Opie. That's what we called them. For Frank and Pearl and Reese and David. You wouldn't be here without Frank and Pearl either because they made me. And you wouldn't be here if I wasn't here because I made your mommy. Do you understand how this works? And then we did the same thing. We took them to Michelle's parents and said, here lay Charlie and Annie. This is Memorial Day, folks. Listen, Memorial Day is about more than wars and about those who died in wars. It's about our heritage and where it is we came from. And we went and we went to Michelle's parents where they are laid, because old Charlie Shornack was a Polish guy, sorry. And Grandma Annie was an Italian, and they're both buried in a Catholic cemetery. And we went there and all those Italian names were there and tried to explain to Reese and David, look at these names. Look when this guy was born. Look when that guy was born. And this is your grandma. And this is, if they weren't here, Gigi wouldn't be here. And if Gigi wasn't here, then your mommy wouldn't be. And tried to build a legacy and a history. How many of you watching right now even know where your grandparents are buried? Have you ever taken your children to your grandparents' grave and say, here's where it started? And you know what's really amazing? I couldn't even get this to connect in the mind of my grandchildren, because my dad and mom are buried, and right next to them is my dad's grandfather, not my dad's father, my dad's grandfather. George and Sophie are buried right beside him. George was born, if you can believe it, George was born in 1861. And there's George, and so I was able to show them the connection of heritage and how this thing goes on. Lord, have we lost that in America today? And we've made Memorial Day only about the veterans. And I honor the veterans. God bless them. Greater love is no man than he would lay down his life for his friends. I get it. I understand all that. But, you know, Grandpa George laid down his life for his family. And he created Grandpa Ed. And Grandpa Ed laid down his life for his family. And he created Opie Frank. And Opie Frank laid down his life for me. And now I'm the Opie. And this is how it works. This is what Memorial Day is about. And this is what heritage and family is all about. I bet the average person watching this show right now have never taken your children to your parents' grave. Am I wrong?
Well, hey, Coach, in a way, it's a bit confusing. My side of the family, on my dad's side, they gambled. They did prostitution. They did all this kind of nasty stuff. And I don't want to push it onto my kids' heritage, but no, they did rotten things.
They don't have to know that, Jeff. They don't have to know they did rotten things. They just need to know their history, that history didn't just begin the day they were born. Reese, you're 9 years old, but look, Reese, and to go along those gravestones and look at those eight, you know, we saw in where my mom and dad are buried three, I'm not making this up, three Revolutionary War soldiers buried right next to my dad in that old cemetery down in Sugar Grove, Ohio. Three, they had flags on them. Revolutionary War. And to build into our children once again this idea that, do we ever hear that message in church? Do you ever hear somebody, fathers, or do we always hear about our forefathers and the sacrifice we made, but we don't have to do anything? We don't have, thank God they, no. There's a, what did my grandpa George, he was the first Dobbenmeyer off the boat. What was his life back in 1863 when he was born? What was it like? He's born during the Civil War. He lived through all that stuff. I tell you, and it was powerful to my grandchildren. I don't think they'll ever forget it. But see, we lose track of all that. We lose track of personal heritage and personal sacrifice. And so here we are building our own kingdom. I'm 67 years old, my house, sky high, and without any recognition or acknowledgement of those who came before us. And when Michelle took those pictures and said, here's a picture of Frank and Pearl. This is Grampy's dad. Wow, it's pretty powerful. And I said, they lay right here. They lay right here in this grave. And everybody ends up in a grave. Am I crazy?
Coach, you're not. 2 Timothy says, in the last days, men, the first thing is that they become lovers of self. That part of lovers of self, the reason why it's the mask wearing, people can't tell me it's about a moral issue. It's about, I want to keep it from my neighbor. It's because you love yourself so much, you'll do whatever it takes to keep your life.
Amen,
that's
Dale.
What it is. They love their life more than anything.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's what I'm saying. It's just gone to stupid foolishness. We're walking and living in stupid foolishness.
Coach, what that does, it connects them to the past, but it shows them that those lives
meant something. And that's what, that's to expound on what Dale said. It's not about me. It's about the people that laid down their life, the last generation, the last one. And just then it becomes about, you appreciate what they did. And it's not such a selfish viewpoint.
Well, you know, Randy, and little Reese, I could tell she was getting it. And she said to me, Grampy, it's sad we can't go visit Grandpa Tom's grave. That's her daddy's dad, who's buried in, I think he's in Michigan. Where's he buried? I don't know, Michigan or New, wherever, buried it where his roots were. And so she began to make the connection. Oh, my dad also has roots. Oh, okay. And we haven't done a very good job of that. That's Psalm 78, by the way. Can you pull that up real quick, Sheldon? I'm sorry, folks. I just kind of shifted gears. I think I'm in the vein here. Psalm 78. It's important. Let's see. For he established, verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob, and he appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but his keep his commandments. First, scroll down, Sheldon, 8. It may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation. A generation did not set its heart aright, and whose spirit was not faithful to God. And the children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battles. They did not keep the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law, and they forgot his works and his wonders that he had shown them. Marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers. We don't know. We've lost that. And I was listening to a commercial or something yesterday, a profound thing I'm thinking about doing, really. Sitting down with my siblings and making a video of our oldest sibling, of my sister Jane, just giving Jane a half hour just to talk about her life and what her life was about. And then my brother Joe, my brother Dan, get all that on video so that we can go back and continue to remember what they went through. My brother Dan lost his arm. Do my grandchildren know anything about how their uncle Dan, their great uncle Dan, lost his arm in a horrible accident our family was in? Do they have any of that? Is that history going to die with us? And my sister knows all the lineage. I don't know it. Are you picking up, guys? Roger just lost his father last week. 90, what was it? What, Roger, 90, old, 94, 96, something like that. And the things that he took to his grave with him. And even though our parents, come on, can we be honest? Even though our parents irritate us, you know, we get to be 20 and we think we know it all. And we get mad at all the things that our parents do and think make us mad. And, well, I look back over my life, man, he was a tyrant and he didn't show any love to me and all that stuff. But the reality is he's walking out his life and living his life. And we lose that connection of, I don't know, I'm not sentimental, but it was really powerful yesterday. Somebody come in.
Yeah, I'm not sure who had said it in this paraphrase, that we applaud the blood of the saints of old that they have shed, but we ourselves strain to make sure not one drop of ours falls.
Amen. Hebrews 11. Sheldon, Hebrews 11. Hebrews. Do you know that? Do you know the hero? The heroes probably in your family. You probably don't even know them. Were there any Revolutionary War soldiers in your lineage? I bet there wasn't mine. I bet there was. Because I just talk about the Dobbinmeyer side. I didn't talk about the Wolfshire side. I don't know. I go down my other mother's, my dad's mom's side, all down through those Wolfshires. And oh my goodness, what would be down through there? Or my grandma on my mom's side. She was a Hoover. Down through those Hoover. What would I find if I dug down into there? How far back would that lineage go? Or into my dad, Frank Burry Fisher, my mom's dad. They were divorced, but never got divorced. Nobody got divorced back when in the 1930s. My mom and dad, my grandmom's mom and dad did. They got divorced. Do I have any history about Frank Burry Fisher and his lineage and what the heck he was all about? No. So therefore we miss so much, man. We miss so much of it. And I think that, you know, we take Memorial Day, if we just make it about the soldiers in the war. Yeah. I appreciate them. I appreciate all of them. Appreciate all of them.
Coach.
But hang on a second. It was sobering, man, to stand over that grave of those Civil War soldiers. Three of them in that grave. Revolutionary War. Wow. Go ahead. Was that Joe's? Who tried to come in? Somebody tried to come
in. No, it was JR. JR. We're talking about family here, folks. We're talking about family. And that's where your strength really lies. I'll be honest with you, as the director of the Natural Family Foundation, I'm embarrassed that I'm not giving this kind of a sermon that you're giving. And I didn't give it on my radio program Saturday. Mm-hmm. It is, I mean, wow.
Right. It's just, you kid, boom. Have you, Jim, I'm not making fun of you, JR. Have your kids ever been to your parents' grave?
No.
No, huh? Isn't that crazy?
Well, have I led them there?
That's my point. Right? That's my point. And then we got a good laugh out of JR because Michelle's mom and dad are married in, I called it high rise. They're in a mausoleum. They're above ground. I said to my wife, so what made Charlie and Annie want to be buried in above ground? They wanted a high rise apartment. My mom and dad just laying in the dirt. What the heck's that all about? And I wondered if my grandchildren standing looking at kind of wondered that thing too. And you know what? I think they like the dirt more than the mausoleum, to be honest with you. My grandkids, I think. So yeah, again, all of it. We need to make that connection. We need to make that connection that you're not the first one come along. And by the way, same thing. I got Hebrews 11 up there, the Faith Hall of Fame. Slide down to about verse 20 if you can there. Sheldon, real quick. just start anywhere. There. By faith, Moses, verse 24, by faith, Moses, choosing rather affliction. Go on down a little bit farther, Sheldon. I'm sorry. this is always, but they overcame. By faith, they overcame. And what more shall I say? Here's what I like to get into, because these are the nameless people. These are somebody's grandma and grandpa. Did Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, did they have any kids? Did their grandkids know what they had done? Did they know that? Did they know that they subdued kingdoms and worked righteousness? Did anybody make a video of their life and tell them that? Obtained promises and stopped the mouths of the lion? Did anybody sit down with their grandchildren and told them what their grandpa Gideon had done or what their grandfather Barak had done? Or Samson, did we ever do that? How about the women who received their dead raised to life again? We have anybody, their kids know that story, that they could tell the story about their grandpa seen as, I don't know. Huh? Well, others were tortured. Did anybody talk about that? Still others had trials, mockings, and scourging. They were stoned. They're sewn in two. Anybody know who these people are? We don't have their names. Did their family know about it? Did their family realize the sacrifices that their forefathers and their heritage that they had done that they might be able to be free? They wandered in deserts and mountains. Wouldn't you like to hear about those stories? As Mark Trump would say, there's a lot of data there, isn't there? A lot of data. Every one of those, they were stoned. They were sewn in two. Anybody, I'd like to hear that story. Whose grandpa was that that got sewn in half? Who's, right? Right? And so we live in a, what's that website? We Me? We live in a We Me. We live in a Facebook. We live in a YouTube. We live in a MySpace. We live in a me society, in a me generation, to where our own children don't appreciate the sacrifices. That's why we can see in the last election that about 65% of old folks like me voted for Donald Trump and 65% of our grandchildren voted for Hillary Clinton. That generational divide. Why? Because we haven't sat down and told them the stories. I wish I knew more stories. I took my children. I talked about they were out in the woods down there. Jim, down in, you know that area well, down Sugar Grove, down there towards Logan, the mountains. And my dad used to go up there and he would hunt squirrels. And he would hunt rabbits and he would hunt quail. And I would tell him, David said, did he hunt bears? Trying to hear about his grandfather and his grandfather growing up and walking across the field and climbing up. And we still missed it, haven't we? We still missed it. It's no wonder that there's no real Americana anymore. There's no America anymore. And I don't care which family it is or who's watching right now. There's a story in every family. Every family has a story of how you got here. How did Charlie and Ann meet? What if Charlie and Ann hadn't met? I wouldn't have Michelle. I wouldn't have Reese. I wouldn't have David, Mia, Macy, and Emmy. And I wouldn't have them. What if Abby hadn't met Morgan? What was that circumstance? I'm not waxing eloquent here today, but I think you get what you're saying. And we're not even passing on our, let alone Christian heritage. We're not. See, we tell them that what we're reading right here, women receive their dead raised to life again. We teach them that's a Bible story. It's just a story. Others were tortured. That's just a story. Let me tell you about evolution. We just came up out of the pond scum. Others had were tortured, not accepting deliverance. Well, Randy, I'd like to know that story. They did what? It cost them their lives because they wouldn't take the easy way out. As for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. Didn't some guy say that? Didn't some guy say, I know not what others may say, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death? What made that guy say that? I don't know. Those guys at Storm Normandy Beach, what would make them do that? Or Pickett's Charge. You guys ever been to Gettysburg and saw what happened to Pickett's Charge? When those guys ran through an open field in the face of bull, running up a hill, knowing they're going to be killed. That was somebody's uncle. That was somebody's, maybe somebody's dad. Maybe somebody's, I don't know. But we don't personalize our history anymore so that our children have a buy-in. I got blood in this thing. I've got some skin in this thing.
Amen, Coach.
My grandpa fought and did. There's skin in this game. See, and we don't do it, man. We don't,
Coach.
Yeah.
You know, when you take an interest in your history, and you're concerned about it and make it personal, then you get concerned about the future of your progeny that you have as well.
You got that, Brian. You know, Brian, I took little Reese up to Sky High. And one of the things we did last summer, it's still marked up there, Mark Trump. It's still up there. We had I made a little concrete. We had a patch in the concrete. I'm going to do a little patch. And I had Reese write her name on it. She wrote her name in there. Reese put her handprint in there and the date. And I said, Reese, listen, someday you'll be the queen of Sky High. And someday you're going to remember that your grampy mowed all that grass down there. You're going to be able to tell your children and you're going to be able to tell your grandchildren that you were there when grampy got that property and how he went through and all the, you get to tell that to your children, Reese. That's why we put your name right here. And you can come up here and you can show them, Reese, that August 13th, 2019, you put your name here. You're the queen of Sky High. We don't talk to our kids like that anymore, do we? Heritage. Nope. You're going to be sitting up here telling your grandchildren what your grampy did.
And you know what, Coach? Tongue in cheek here, but I think there was an earthquake up in the Arlington Cemetery yesterday.
What's that? It was
from all those people turning in their graves.
Yes, sir. We may not feel the effects of it for a while, right? Hey, I'm not making light of us veterans. I know you guys know that. I know that. I'm not making light of that. Some gave us, what's that old saying? All gave some gave all. I get it, man. I get it.
And the third coach is some gave none. And that's what we're living in right now. They don't want it.
Most gave none. Today, Dale, most gave none. But see, that doubles back around to the fact that we're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. That's how we got in this mess, as we allowed the ungodly to steal out of the heart of our children and our grandchildren the things that are really, really important. Did any of you ever, can you remember ever sitting down and having a long conversation with your grandpa? I wish I could go back and sit down and have a long conversation with my dad now and say, Dad, tell me, what was that like, Dad, when Dan lost his arm? When you went over there in the hospital and you saw your little seven-month-old boy with his arm cut off, what was that like, Dad? What was it like? What was it like raising five kids coming out of that, man, oh, man, what was that like? And, wow, greater empathy for the sacrifice that he made. That generation. I used to tell this story. It's a true story. I can remember when I was, I can remember going back to my dad's house when I was, I don't know, I was about five, maybe. It had been 1957, 58. And the old rundown house that they lived in, the old potbelly stove inside their house. And to think that I used to tell our guys, I went from dirt floors to tennis courts in a generation. And I appreciate the tennis court. I appreciate Sky High, but do they appreciate the dirt floors? They appreciate where my dad grew up and what he had to go through? No. I don't know how I got on this morning, but it's pretty rich. Somebody else coming in.
Okay, my turn.
Go ahead, Joe.
When I was a kid, I think it was 1968.
I can't picture you being a kid, Joe.
Well, trust me, I was. I'm the oldest of 10, so.
Wow.
Yeah, good old Catholic. And but there was a funeral that I attended for someone who had been killed in Vietnam, and it turned out to be a friend of my friend's brother. And when he came back, they had his casket open, but he was under a plexiglass seal.
Mm.
Okay. And his collar was all stained up from the embalming fluids or whatever. Yeah. And that messed his brother up big time.
Mm.
And everything that we have been talking about today concerning our family heritage, taking our kids and grandkids to grave sites and, you know, telling them stories and that kind of stuff. Let's do that on July 4th.
Yeah, that's good, Joe. Yeah, that's good.
Okay. And leave them
all. So, Joe, one of the things I got to do yesterday, remember I told you my dad's buried here, and then right beside him is my grandfather. This is crazy. My dad's parents are buried in the Catholic cemetery. Now, Dad was a Catholic, but Dad chose to be buried beside his grandfather. It's crazy. He was an old Lutheran boy, right?
Yeah.
My grandfather converted to Catholicism to marry my grandma. And so Dad's buried in, not in the Catholic cemetery. He's buried there in old Blue Valley. And I got to tell my grandkids yesterday for the first time. It was a rush of memories for me. I was in the room. Remember my dad's grave? Beside it, his grandfather's grave. And I was in the room when my dad's grandpa passed into eternity. I was in the room. I was 7 years old. We were down there at my grandma's house staying for the weekend or whatever. Me and my brother Dan, my brother Joe, and my grandma came to the back door. I'm so vivid. I was 6, 7 years old. Vividly, I remember it. She says, "Boys, boys, come in, boys." And so we went running in. We didn't know why. Grandpa Ed George lived there. My great-grandfather was living in the home, dying in the home. And she walks us into the room, and we all stood around the bed as Grandpa George passed to eternity, 1959. I was in the room, 7 years old, and I got to tell that story to my grandkids yesterday. It's powerful, powerful. So that they could understand where not only I walked, but where my dad had walked and his dad had walked and even his great, and then to walk. Reese's a history buff, right? Grampy, this one here was in the Revolutionary War. Wow. I didn't even think about this when I started this show this morning, that powerful experience that we had yesterday. And then Michelle was talking, you know, she's talking about how little we know about her family. She knew her uncles, but that's about it. How sad that is. Go on in, Rod.
Well, Dave, I was just going to add, when we buried my dad a week or so ago, I told people at the gravesite, this cemetery was hallowed ground for the Weaver family.
Mm.
There was Weavers. You could trace our lineage in this cemetery for Weavers and my mother's maiden name, Robinette. That this cemetery was our Gettysburg cemetery. This is where our loved ones are buried. And it was very interesting to go down that road because, as you said, you know, there's my mom's mom and dad and her grandparents and her uncle. And I think the other thing that hit me hard is how we just go back into the ground. You know, none of us are really that important.
No.
And, you know, it just is interesting how we live our lives.
Well, Roger, you know what struck me yesterday? How sad it is. It doesn't matter. But to think that they're going to put me in the grave here at some point. And Roger, 50 years from now, is nobody going to come and visit my grave? Am I just going to lay there with this stone on top? Nobody's going to come by and visit me? And so I'm thinking of my mom's grandma, my mom's mom. She can't be 10 miles from me. I don't know the last time I went to grandma's. I got to get my sister and relocate where that grave is. I got to go visit. That's not even fair. That's not even fair to go by and remember her and what she did. That's what Memorial Day ought to be about, really.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, all of my family's graves are like 1,400 miles away. I haven't taken any of my grandkids to any of my family's graves. But boy, I sure have talked about them.
Mm-hmm.
What pictures I have they've seen. But then the most memorable thing about my mom's funeral back in November was how empty her body was. I mean, I have never seen an emptier corpse in my life. Who my mom was nowhere near that coffin. She, you know, and I have no desire whatsoever to go to any of the graves of my brother, sister, mom, grandparents, because they're not there. Now, that's just my personal take on it.
Oh, I get it. I get it. But we do put those stones there as a memorial to it. So that's what I also thought yesterday. I was reminded yesterday, first time I ever heard Rock of Ages sung. I can still hear. I'm not, folks, I'm not making it up. I can flash back Sugar Grove, Ohio, when my great-grandfather, who I had just watched take his last breath, about 3 days later, we were at his funeral in Sugar Grove, Ohio, at a Lutheran, so I was Catholic, at a Lutheran church where they were singing Rock of Ages, cleft for me. I can still hear that. Isn't that something? Those memories that are buried deep back in our heads. Somebody else.
Coach, it isn't, you know, it isn't about how great we are on paper, but the memories is what you take forward is this. My mother, my dad, they served their family. They served their generation, and they were buried. And now, am I going to serve my generation? Is that going to be the legacy that I leave? That's a great legacy. I mean, besides serving your family, did you serve your time and your generation and make a difference?
Randy, that's why I believe the Bible says that we're to love our parents, love our mother and father, not to honor our father and mother, not love them. It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. Sometimes our parents can be unlovable. Sometimes I can be unlovable. But honor, we would do well. We would do well if we went back and taught our children that old guy laying in a nursing home that you take him by and visit people. That was a strong man. That was a strong, strong man who fought and worked and did everything he could to provide for his family. And we need to honor what that guy did because life is hard. Those values we're not teaching anymore. There's one for you, JR. There's one for you. We've raised the most selfish generation ever.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Coach, back to you, what you were talking about. As far as the commandment, honor your father and your mother. Okay. I mean, it's the only one with a promise.
Well, it says, yep.
Okay. You'll have a nice long life. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I wanted to show you when you were talking about, you were asking about, are people going to come visit me after 50 years of being dead in the grave?
Yeah.
We are confident, I say, and will rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. And so you ain't going to be there anyway.
Yeah. Come on in, Chad.
Okay. Well, I was just saying that, you know, we went over there to Licking County when we came and saw you. And then we went up to that highest point in the county where there's a church there.
Uh-huh.
And there's that, what do you call it?
All
the people are buried there. I can't even remember the name of the thing.
Cemetery.
Cemetery. Okay. So they're all those there. Well, see, I didn't know anybody there. But what I do, I want to say, what interests me on those things is to see how long people lived and what happened during that time.
That's true.
And there was many graves in there that there were several people that died right exactly on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wonder what happened. You know, those are things that puzzle me on it. It makes it interesting on that, you know what I'm saying? So,
well, you know, Chad, it was kind of amazing because I saw yesterday, looking at a lot of those tombstones, lifespans are pretty close to the same. They're pretty close to the same. They were living into their 70s, their 60s and the 70s, except for the ones, you know, some of them died younger, but for the most part, they were. Hey, real quick, Sheldon, go to Joshua 1. Joshua 1, pull that up if you can. The real purpose of Memorial Day, man, is to remember. Remember? Joshua 1. Okay, look now. Look here, folks. It's about heritage. It's what we're talking about today. After the death of Moses, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, "Hey, Joshua, Moses is dead. Your turn, buddy. Next man up. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, your turn, boy. Arise. Go over the Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I've given it to you. I was with Moses from the wilderness of Lebanon as far as the great river, the Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea." I'm struggling because this is New King James, not King James. It doesn't have the same rhythm to me when I read it. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." See, Joshua had to understand his spiritual legacy from Moses. If he didn't understand the spiritual legacy from Moses, he didn't get it. He said, "As I was with Moses, I'll be with you." Joshua knew Moses. Joshua knew the power and authority Moses had. He said, "I'm going to give that same thing with you. I'm not going to leave you and I'm not going to forsake you, but be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance." He says, "I got a big job for you, dude. Moses is dead. Your turn. It's your turn now, Josh. Be strong and courageous. You may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Don't turn from it to the right or the hand or the left, but that you may prosper wherever you go. And the book of the law, not going to depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You may observe to do according to all it's written. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have a good success. Have not I commanded you, Josh? Be strong, a good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with you wherever you go." What did he do? He played back to his heritage. "I was with Moses. You saw everything I did through Moses. I'm going to do that same thing through you, Joshua."
Didn't you also tell him, Coach, not to reinvent the wheel? Know your history.
Yes, see? He did. Yep. Know your history. Don't reinvent the wheel. Well said. Don't.
Dave.
Uh-huh.
Well, I want to thank you all, Joshua, there, and that was ironic because Friday night the Holy Spirit kind of put it on me, Joshua 9. So I read Joshua 9 before I went to bed, and it had zero meaning to me. Then there's nothing to it. So we read it again Sunday, and as we're getting down here to Joshua 9, what happened in Joshua 9 is where they're told by the Lord to sweep through there and kill all these Amorites and all those Nephilim based or bloodline, right? So when it gets down to 14, it says, "And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord," because the other guys tricked them into making a deal with them so they wouldn't get killed.
Joshua 9, Sheldon, bring that up there. Joshua 9.
And so what he did was because they did not go to the Lord and say, they made a hasty decision.
They walked in the council of the ungodly.
That's right. They made their own minds up. Rather than this was a big decision, and they just made it without the Lord, and it cost them.
Mm-hmm. It did.
So, Dave, I'm just saying that, you know, when we're here making our decisions, our daily decisions and things like that, why not rely on the counsel of the Lord?
Well, certainly not on the counsel of the ungodly, right? I mean, we're sitting here in this pandemic wanting the ungodly to save us. That's our prayer, that unrighteous men are gonna save us. I'm noticing right here, Chad, as I'm looking at Joshua 9 on my screen. Wow.
You know, Coach?
It says in verse 3, and when the inhabitants of Gibeon, they heard, see, there was a connection. He did that. Okay, I'm going to do this. Yeah, Larry?
You know, Jesus taught us to pray for God's will to be done. And we spend most of our time praying for what we want.
Uh-huh. Well, that's true. That's true. That's true. See, well, I'll Coach, get into that. Yeah, Jack.
You may have already covered this. I missed part of it, but the current church, the new church, the modern church, many people have come from all different backgrounds, and they're only exposed to the New Testament. And often I find that in talking to them, they don't have the foundation because they weren't taught, like some of us that were raised in the church, they weren't taught the Old Testament. So they mm-hmm. don't have the foundation as to why the New Testament says what it says. Oh, and so the learning the history, learning the foundation, even though it was very bloody and God's wrath and everybody died, but it was important to know the whys and the whos and why they did what they did and why God did what he did.
Well, it's also important to read that. That is what Jesus taught. He taught the Old Testament.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. 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 So it's that family Christian heritage. Do any of you know? Don't you wonder what kind of Christian walk your grandparents had, your great grandparents had? Don't you sometimes wonder, are the values I'm teaching to Reese and David, and are they going to end up in their grandchildren? But see, we don't think that way because we don't think we're going to be around here very long. Because we don't think we're going to be around here very long, we all grab for all the gusto that we can. We all want to get out of life, everything. We all want to have our best life now. Well, my grandpa George didn't have his best life. He passed on his best life to his son, John, Grandpa Ed. And Grandpa Ed didn't have his best life. He was away from home most of the time of work, working for the Ohio Power Company. He worked up in Shelby and come home on weekends. And so he wasn't having his best life, and he's trying to let Frank have his best life. And Frank was working doubles all the time at Kaiser Aluminum, trying to provide for the five kids that he had. My dad wasn't having his best life. He was laying down his life that I might have my best life. And now I'm 67 years old, and I'm still sitting around looking at all the stuff I accumulated. And I see people my age. I just saw it again yesterday when we were out driving, all of the huge, huge motor homes, $250,000 motor homes out on the street, pulling cars behind them. I'm thinking, golly, really? Really? That's your life? What? That's your life? And just look around and see how many of my friends, I'm not making anybody feel bad. How many friends my age don't even have grandkids? What? Well, we haven't shown the importance of heritage to them, see? Haven't shown the importance of it. The world's telling everything else. We're overpopulated, don't have children. Send them the wrong message. Somebody, come on in. Who was that? Jeff? Somebody?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I was just thinking as you're talking about this. I remember as a little kid at my grandma and grandpa's house, and there's a lot I didn't know about them. And it's sad you said that before. What do we know about our grandparents and our great grandparents? We don't know much. But all I can remember is all the ungodliness in that house of the beer drinking and the fighting. And sometimes cops would come because all my dad's brothers were fighting on the front porch drunk. But my grandmother always sit in that house and played her organ and played the old hymnals. Wow. You know what I mean? And I look back on that just now, I think, wonder what she was thinking.
Simpler time.
But she always played that when we were around. She'd sit in there and just play that organ by herself and play that music. Now I'm thinking about, wonder what grandma was thinking.
Wonder what she was going through, right?
Yeah.
Psalm 78, that we would teach it to our children, who would teach it to their children. And we haven't done a really good job of that, right? Back when we just had the Bible in a belt, what that song that, boy, we had time to get that up, right? Play that Bible in a belt. See if you can find that real quick, Sheldon. Listen, we're probably going to go over, and YouTube is probably going to ban this. Go to Coach Dave Live. Go to the Bible and the Belt. It's a song. Bible and the Belt. See that in the song, didn't play. Joey and Rory, there it is. The Bible and the Belt. Yeah, is it? Is there a way to play that? Go to YouTube and see if you can find it. No, that ain't it. That isn't it. Nope. Bible and the Belt. Go to YouTube. Hey, it's Coach, worth it. Yes.
What do you say to people, because there's, I know several people, myself, of course, included, who never got married even, let alone had kids, and maybe it wasn't their choice?
I don't know, brother. I feel you. I don't know what to tell you. Hey, do this. Go ahead. That's it. Joey and Rory. She died, by the way. She died of cancer a few years ago. Title of this song was The Bible and the Belt. Go ahead and play that.
I was going to say, for Gary, you got...
Hang on a minute. Sheldon, freeze it a second. Start it again. Go ahead, Chad. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was just going to say for Gary that, you know, maybe nieces and nephews, or if you have friends who also have children and stuff like that, you know, pass something on. That's the main thing. That's the point of the thing. We don't teach them history, then who will? The dark side.
We're going to finish today with Joey and Rory, The Bible and the Belt. Don't forget, we've got Sarah Brady in here tomorrow. Just let this ruminate on you a little bit. Listen, this will be the end of the show, so that when YouTube bans it, go to CoachDaveLive.com. It'll all be there. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Brought up to respect them since the day that I was born. One came here from England, and it's been handed down for years. The other one was ordered from a catalog at Sears. Well, one my mama read to me till I was well into my teens. And I thought all the other one was for was to hold up daddy's jeans. Till I told a lie and learned it had another purpose too. Out behind the shed, my daddy said, "This'll hurt me more than you." This one had my daddy's name on it, the other said King James. With love they taught us lessons, but we feared them both the same. One led us to heaven, and the other left a weld. Those were the days when kids were raised with a Bible and a belt. I remember when I was 12, I stole a dime store comic book, and how Mama read where the scripture said to take back what I took. When I refused, my daddy grabbed my arm and said, "Come on." I needed more, he knew, than just Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Well, sometimes they made me cry. Sometimes they made me fight and mad. I'd wish I'd been raised without them, like some other children had. But now I'm grown with kids of my own, and I know just how they feel. You know, it seems to me what the world still needs is a Bible and a bell. This one had my daddy's name on it, the other said King James. With love they taught us lessons, but we feared them both the same. One led us to heaven, and the other hurt like hell. Those were the days when kids were raised with a Bible and a bell. A Bible and a bell.
We'll see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow.